Lanny Peters, pastor of Oakhurst Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia, writes of an experience that he had while traveling. He writes, "Some years ago, I was traveling alone and passed a hitchhiker. My first impulse is to pass hitchhikers by. That day, though, something in the face of the old man with his thumb out made me pause. Perhaps it was his snaggle-toothed grin or the way he happily waved as I passed. In any case, I found myself hitting the brakes and pulling over. I watched in the rearview mirror as he moved toward my car hurriedly, despite a prominent limp. In a moment, he crawled into the seat beside me, shook my hand, and said exuberantly, 'Thank you for the ride, young man. My name's Henry.' Henry was quite a talker, or perhaps he had just not had a chance to talk in a while. He ended up telling me a lot of his life story and was interested in mine as well, not hesitating to ask questions that many might consider too personal for a stranger. He was retired and did not own a car. One of his children was in the hospital several hundred miles away, and he was going to make a hospital visit. I told him I was only going about half the way before I would turn and go in another direction. At one point, he began talking about a place he liked to eat near where I would leave him. Thinking he was going to ask for money, I was considering how much to give him when he pulled out the most ragged billfold I had ever seen. He searched through it and said, 'I think I've got enough here and would like to buy us both supper.' I laughed and said, 'No, no, I can buy my own supper. In fact, I can buy yours if you like.' 'Nope,' he replied. 'You've done enough already giving me a ride this far.' We ate a great little meal at a roadside diner where the waitress knew his name, and I left him there to continue his journey and me my own. Later, I suspected I had entertained one of God's angels without knowing it. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it." Hospitality to the stranger was a virtue highly regarded in the ancient Middle East, especially amongst the Jewish people, for they had been strangers themselves in the land of Egypt. Biblical scholar William Barclay points out that the ancient world loved and honored hospitality. The Jews themselves listed six things which were important both in this life and in the life to come, and the list begins, "Hospitality to the stranger and visiting the sick." Inns in those days were filthy and ruinously expensive and had a bad reputation. The Greeks always had a dislike of hospitality given for money. Innkeeping seemed to them an unnatural business. In the ancient world, there was a rather wonderful system of what were called guest friendships. Throughout the years, families, even when they had lost active touch with one another, had an arrangement that whenever it was needed, they would make accommodations available for one another. This hospitality was even more necessary among Christians. Wandering preachers and prophets were always on the roads. In the ordinary business of life, Christians had journeys to make. Both their price and their moral atmosphere made the public inns impossible. In those days, there must have been mainly isolated Christians fighting a lonely battle for their faith. Christianity was and still should be, as Barclay says, the religion of the open door. The religion of the open door. What a wonderful concept, one that we would do well to capture and to claim. And so it is that a commitment to hospitality has been for centuries a hallmark of the Christian faith and community. We as Christians find ourselves in a long line of brothers and sisters dedicated to making and keeping the church an open door place. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without even knowing it. It begins here with us. Our mutual love must continue. Now, I have used these words from Hebrews before as an encouragement to be mindful of our hospitality as a congregation, to advocate for more and more welcoming environment here on Sunday mornings and throughout the week. And quite frankly, you all have responded quite admirably. New member after new member, as they join our congregation, mentioned that one of the biggest reasons was the honest and heartfelt welcome they received in their very first few visits here. It isn't ultimately because of our mugs or our new-to-us sheets in the pews, but rather to the genuine and warm words and embraces of welcome and the follow-up conversations on the second and subsequent visits. The honest desire to get to know a new person in a very intimate way. Because of who we naturally are, how much we truly love this special place, and perhaps due to some of the initiatives we have put into place, this congregation has truly embraced its identity as a welcoming body. Now, with that said, and with our collective ego sufficiently stroked, it is time to take that next step. To take the lessons about hospitality that we have learned here and apply them beyond these walls in small and in big ways, in personal and in public ways. To get out of the pews, as one of you likes to say. Unfortunately, our culture and our country has become increasingly xenophobic in the last few years, and especially in the last year. I suppose that 16 straight years of wars take their tolls in powerful ways. Xenophobia, from the Greek word xenos, meaning stranger or foreigner, and phobos, meaning fear. The fearmongers from the top down try to convince us that people who don't look like us, or speak like us, or dress like us, or worship like us, or who come from a certain part of the world are to be feared in total. They are coming to hurt us or kill us, they tell us. They're coming to take our jobs, they're coming to force their culture or their religion on us. Those fearmongers trying to force their agendas, most often driven by profit, on the wider population. They try to do so by appealing to our base instinct, fear. To be sure, there are frightful anecdotes out there, examples of foreigners or strangers hurting and killing others. Of course, those are vastly outnumbered by instances of those who would not be considered foreigners or strangers, who are doing the same. But alas, they are merely that, anecdotes, and they do not represent the larger truth and larger reality that a vast majority of those seeking the American dream are honest, loving, peace-loving people, many of whom are fleeing devastating, life-threatening circumstances in their home countries. It is time for Christians like you and like me to stand up and say that this fear-mongering, this xenophobia is wrong, and we won't stand for it any longer. And let us be clear and honest that this is not simply a political issue. This is very clearly a matter of faith, on at least two levels, perhaps many more. On one hand, we as Christians are implored time and time again not to fear, not to give in to any phobia. Indeed, the exhortation, "Do not fear," or some form thereof, occurs over 300 times throughout the Scriptures. As Christians, we know and trust that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation. What then, I ask, need we fear? For as John wrote, perfect love casts out fear. For if anyone says, I love God and hates a brother or sister, he is a liar. And on the other hand, as Christians, we are called to radical hospitality. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. And when an alien resides in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. For we were once strangers in a strange land, or at least our ancestors were, in Egypt, in America. Aliens feared by the indigenous people, longing for welcome and acceptance. Our God's concern for and love of the stranger, the foreigner, is well documented in the scriptures. Is it risky? Of course it is. Is it safe? There's no guarantee. But still, the command remains, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. And why? Because as we teach our children here, everyone is a child of God. And thus, every welcome to a stranger is an act of hospitality to none other than the one who created us. Jesus himself said, just as you have done it for the least of these, you have done it for me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Thus, friends, it is incumbent upon us to be shining examples of hospitality and fearlessness to our neighbors outside of this place, in our communities, our workplaces, our families, etc. To openly welcome the stranger among us, stepping out in faith, giving generously and sacrificially, and what's more, supporting elected officials and policies not driven by fear, but rather by love and by hospitality. Of course, we can be wise and careful about it, as we have been for quite some time. In the end, however, love and trust must prevail for us. For the faith that informs and drives us is not a careful and a safe faith. It is a faith committed to love, to trust, and to hospitality. It is a faith that calls and challenges us to imagine what we might miss if we don't open our doors and our arms to those who are not like us. And so it is important that we practice hospitality with joy, ultimately, and not begrudgingly or out of compulsion. A story is told of a young boy who heard the doorbell ring just before Sunday dinner. And so he went and he opened the door. When he saw the minister standing there, he breathed a sigh of relief and declared, "Oh, now I understand." The pastor looked puzzled and asked the boy what he meant. The boy said, "Well, until I saw you standing there, I thought we were going to have to eat goat meat for dinner today." The minister was still confused, and so he asked, "Goat meat? Son, I still don't know what you're talking about." The boy said, "Well, I didn't know what she'd meant until just now, but the other day I heard my mom say to my dad, 'I guess we'll have to have the old goat for dinner on Sunday.'" Hospitality. It can be funny, and it can be challenging. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Angels. Can you imagine? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.